Welcome to The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan. It'll be my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the next half hour. The Onion is a parody of news and commentary and contains material that some people will find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we'll start with a message of hope from Global Tetrahedron by Bryce P. Tetraeater, Global Tetrahedron CEO. We have taken another proud collective stride toward dystopia. A bankruptcy court has denied the sale of InfoWars following a month of drawn-out legal proceedings. The experience was long and punishing for all involved, and the final outcome is inconclusive. The InfoWars assets remain in limbo. Everything is now in doubt, and everyone is worse off than before. In short, it is the kind of world we at Global Tetrahedron have always envisioned. One in which wealth begets wealth, power begets power, and the process itself inflicts daily suffering on innocent parties for no reason. On a personal level, witnessing this saga has been nothing short of inspiring. To see such naked contempt for truth and humanity, to have front row seats as a parade of mercenary goons disfigure the English language with blunt force bravado, is a dream come true for the 10-year-old boy in me who grew up idolizing greats like George Wallace and Idi Amin. And as I reflect on how lucky I am, I find myself wishing others could share in this experience. I believe that everyone, at least once in their life, should know the joy of being locked in a Byzantine financial struggle to own InfoWars.com. That is why my message to you today is one of hope. This is not the end for Global Tetrahedron. When the night seems dark, we can still make it darker and profit from darkness arbitrage markets. When the world seems to have died, it is possible to extract significant economic value from its slouching corpse. And no matter what, transnational global capital always wins. So as we close this long chapter of uncertainty and dread and immediately open another much longer chapter of uncertainty and dread, I hope you will all follow along. Untapped acres of time stretch forward without limit, and the name on the deed is ours. Your role will soon become clear. Stand by. Infinite growth forever. Bryce P. Tetrahedron, Global Tetrahedron CEO. Now back to the news. Large, playful sheepdog knocks over Houston skyline, Dateline Houston. In a devastating accident that left the entire downtown area in smoldering ruins, officials confirmed Tuesday that the Houston skyline had been knocked over by a large, playful sheepdog named Gus. According to eyewitnesses, the 3-year-old Old English sheepdog tore through the business district, bumping into TC Energy Center, and whacking over the J.P. Morgan Chase Tower with its tail. Houston's 2.3 million residents reportedly called out, "Down, boy, down," and "Bad Gus, no," in a futile attempt to control the overexcited, rampaging animal, who was wound up after being released outside into the metropolitan area for the first time all afternoon. Several reports indicated that residents and commuters screamed in terror as the dog was observed lifting its leg to relieve itself. At press time, sources said the dog had caused massive pileups across the city after frantically running circles around Interstate 610. Next, "The harvest," shrieks forgetful Amish guy. Dateline Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Leaping up from his rocking chair as the realization filled him with utter panic, forgetful Amish guy Amos Yoder suddenly and loudly shrieked, "The harvest," on Thursday, according to Pennsylvania Dutch sources. "The crops, the crops. Amos, you old wutz, you've gone and messed everything up again," Yoder was overheard shouting as he hastily pulled on an overcoat and ran out into his field, where he reportedly fell to his knees and began brushing snow from the ground with his bare hands while groping blindly for rutabagas. "Oh no, all the squash is totally ruined. The corn too. Ah, I was wondering why the autumn felt so relaxed this year. No way my entire family makes it through the winter now. And I already lost two daughters last year after forgetting the right way to store apples. Oh, I guess I forgot to harvest the apples too. Samuel, go fetch the oxen. We have to salvage as much as we can. What do you mean they're gone? Oh, Christ, did I leave the gate open again? At press time, reports confirmed Yoder had suffered a nervous breakdown after his neighbor stopped by to see if the barn he had asked Yoder to raise would be ready by Friday. Next. Ballsy retirement home has interracial couple right on front of brochure. Dateline Cleveland. In an advertising choice that stunned observers with its sheer audacity, Ballsy Retirement Home Sunrise Heights has an interracial couple right on the front of its brochure, sources confirmed Thursday. Holy shit, they really just went for it, huh? Said local man Derek Allsworth, one of several people who shook their heads in begrudging respect at the nerve it took for an upscale senior living community center to put a photograph right front and center of a smiling mixed-race couple enjoying a meal in their unit's kitchen. They didn't even hide it a few pages in on the spread about intramural activities and yoga classes. You gotta give it up for the cojones on these people. Christ. At press time, sources reacted with shock after realizing the couple's personal care attendant was white. Next. KitchenAid unveils new culinary mech suit. Dateline, Benton Harbor, Michigan. Confirming that the device would give home cooks the speed, efficiency, and power of over 200 professional chefs, appliance brand KitchenAid announced Wednesday that it had begun selling a new military-grade culinary mech suit. Whether you are attempting to make your world-famous blueberry muffins, roll out perfect tagliatelle, or spiralize vegetables from a healthy home-cooked meal, our new stainless steel exoskeleton will turn you into an unstoppable, unkillable foot soldier in the kitchen, said KitchenAid spokesperson Grace Jackson, adding that the 15-foot-tall, 3-ton robotic suit came with 20 custom attachments, including a brulee cannon, built-in arm whisk, a turbo kneader, and a jet-powered pasta extruder. With the click of a button, the titanium-reinforced exoskeleton fuses to your arms, legs, neck, and head, giving you all the abilities of a stand mixer, pasta sheeter, ice cream maker, juicer, and meat grinder. With over 40 stylish colors, including classic ivory, seafoam green, and blue salt, it's no wonder the KitchenAid mech suit is already the number one culinary mech suit on the market. At press time, KitchenAid announced that it had released a new culinary link unit that would allow its customers to control air fryer human hybrids that had been sent to another planet to cook a variety of golden brown appetizers for alien life. Next, Mr. Beast announces he has resurrected everyone buried at Arlington National Cemetery, Dateline Greenville, North Carolina. Telling viewers of his latest charitable video to prepare themselves for his most epic challenge yet, 25-year-old influencer Jimmy Mr. Beast Donaldson announced Friday that he had resurrected everyone buried at Arlington National Cemetery. You might not know this, but sadly, over 400,000 of our nation's most decorated veterans have to spend eternity dead and underground, the content creator says in the video, explaining that he has found a scientist willing to help him reanimate the dead and has spent millions of dollars to pump 75,000 volts of electricity into each plot of the hallowed cemetery. Thanks to this amazing procedure, every single one of these deserving corpses has crawled out of the ground and began roaming the earth again, totally free of charge to them and their families. They'll also receive $10,000 in cash. Frankly, it's a tragedy we've let these American heroes rot in their graves for this long. Reacting to a moment in the video when Mr. Beast gives a reanimated World War II veteran a Lamborghini, viewers expressed outrage toward the apparent ingratitude of the undead soldier who only screams, Why did you do this? Kill me, kill me, into the camera. Next. First, Neuralink implant recipient successfully performs depraved sexual acts on Elon Musk, Dateline San Francisco. In an astounding medical breakthrough for the brain microchip company, Neuralink researchers confirmed Wednesday that the first brain implant recipient had successfully performed depraved sexual acts on Elon Musk. Although the patient is still recovering from the procedure, they are doing well and have already brought Mr. Musk to orgasm dozens of times, said neurosurgeon Nicholas McGregor, who excitedly announced that company researchers had observed the patient servicing Musk in a multitude of outright filthy ways they would have never agreed to otherwise. By sending just a few electrical signals to the patient's brain, we were able to get them to stand up, zip themselves into a latex suit, and immediately begin going to town on Mr. Musk's testicles. Soon, the way billionaires are pleasured could change forever. This is made all the more promising after our limited success with monkeys. At press time, Neuralink had released a somber statement confirming the patient had died while defecating on Musk's chest. Next. Stab him, you coward, said terrified Kamala Harris to aides after plunging first knife into Biden's back. Dateline Washington. Moments after pulling shut the door to the Roosevelt room and locking it behind her, a terrified Vice President Kamala Harris reportedly told aides to stab him, you cowards, on Friday after she plunged a knife into President Joe Biden's back. What are you waiting for, you fools? Strike now before the opportunity goes cold, said the blood-dappled vice president who, as her staff appeared to grow uncertain of the blades in their shaking hands and backed away toward the exit, reminded each panicked aide in turn that they had pledged their fealty for this day. Think of all I've promised you. Think of all we stand to gain. Quick now, the first blow has been rendered. There is no going back. We're Confederates in this. We must act now or be damned by inaction. At press time, sources confirmed President Biden had complained to an assistant of a tightness in his shoulder and returned to the Oval Office with a knife still protruding from his back. Next. Country stations refuse to play Beyoncé's music after artist condemns Iraq war. Dateline Houston. Calling the popular musician traitorous for failing to support President George W. Bush in a time of crisis, thousands of country stations across America reportedly refused to play Beyoncé's music Thursday after the artist condemned the Iraq war. If she doesn't want to support our troops risking their lives out there for the cause of freedom, then we don't need her, said country radio executive Hunter Roloffs, one of many station owners who blacklisted the recent singles Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages after controversial comments in which the star expressed reservations about the U.S.-led coalition invasion of Iraq, remarks that also led to a reported drop in ticket sales and Beyoncé losing a sponsorship deal with Lipton. Unlike Miss Knowles, we're proud Americans here at 100.3 The Bull. We support freedom, whether it's here or in the Middle East. So when she says innocent lives will be lost, I can't help but wonder if she could possibly think a bloodthirsty dictator like Saddam Hussein is innocent. And then there's that line of hers about being ashamed of President Bush. Well, we're ashamed of her. How about that? At press time, Beyoncé had attracted additional criticism from the country music scene after rebranding herself as The Chicks. Next, Pete Hegseth clarifies women allowed in combat roles, but it's a huge turnoff, Dateline Washington. In an evident attempt to walk back previously inflammatory statements, prospective Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth clarified Thursday that although he now believes women should be allowed in combat roles, he still sees that as a huge turnoff. While I want to state that I have nothing but respect for the female troops serving our country, it's important to stress that thinking about that sort of thing is a real boner killer, said Hegseth, adding that even a total knockout, 10 out of 10, would be marked down several points in his book if she were dressed up in a baggy, shapeless military uniform and given an assault rifle. Personally, I believe there are several aspects of their biology that make women far better equipped to be sexy back on the home front. It also really grosses me out thinking of them with, like, a butch buzz cut and muscles. It should be up to each individual servicewoman to decide whether she wants to be deployed to the front lines and turned into a total uggo. If not, there's certainly a lot of room for them to look like absolute bombshells dressed as army nurses. Head Chef went on to suggest his mind might be changed if the military dress code were amended to require female soldiers to wear only a camouflage bra and panties on the battlefield. Next, Secretary Interior asked nations help identifying LEAF, Dateline Washington, mounting a public campaign in an effort to determine the origin of the unrecognized foliage specimen. Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland asked the nation for help Friday in identifying a leaf that she confirmed was from a tree or something, but remained a mystery otherwise. "Have you seen this leaf before?" read a post on the secretary's official Instagram account, requesting anyone who had seen the leaf before to contact a special Interior Department hotline day or night with any information that might lead to its successful identification. "None of us have, but operators are standing by to receive your tips on whether you think it's from a tree, from a bush, or maybe some kind of ivy. It's crinkly and has veins in it, so we know it's not grass. Does grass even have leaves? Anyhow, we're thinking oak or maple, but those are just shot-in-the-dark guesses, to be honest." At press time, the department confirmed it had closed its investigation into the leaf after distracted officials confirmed there were some pretty cool rocks over there. Next, tips for having a more meaningful conversation. Whether you're spending time with cherished family members or new friends, skipping small talk and diving into deeper topics can help strengthen your relationships. The Onion shares tips for having more meaningful conversations. Bang a gavel every time someone says something trivial. Put your phone away, unless you're having a conversation with someone over the phone, in which case this is considered rude. Always wear business casual attire to any conversation. If they seem distracted, clap loudly in their face and yell, "Focus!" Try not to get too caught up by the fact that you're talking to the boss while wearing a wire. Each quarter, take the bottom performing conversationalists and cut them from your friendship roster. Learn how to pronounce Hegel. Ease into more sensitive topics by lowering your megaphone's volume to a 7 or 8. Pay attention to nonverbal cues. If the other person is crying, you've successfully avoided small talk. Next, J.D. Vance forced to dress as Elf at Mar-a-Lago Christmas party, Dateline Palm Beach, Florida. Despite begging to attend the party in a suit like every other member of Donald Trump's future cabinet, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance was reportedly forced to dress as an elf Friday for the Mar-a-Lago Christmas party. "Hi, everyone. I'm J.D., the Christmas elf," the 40-year-old Ohio senator said in a highly pitched voice, prancing around Trump's lavishly decorated Florida resort to greet top donors, diplomats, and appointees, and wearing a bright green suit, candy cane striped leggings, and a sign that identified him as Employee of the Month at Santa's workshop. "Jolly old St. Nick sent me here all the way from the North Pole to spread Christmas cheer to President Trump's favorite girls and boys. Now, who wants a sugar plum treat or a copy of every elf's favorite book, Hillbilly Elegy?" At press time, Vance was said to be screaming as Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. pinned him to the ground, ripped off his hat, and demanded to know if his ears were real. Next, how the Trump administration will carry out mass deportations. President-elect Donald Trump pledged to fulfill his campaign promise of removing millions of undocumented immigrants in a record-setting deportation operation. Here is the incoming administration's plan for carrying out mass deportations. Redirect immigration applicants to a travel blog called 50 Things to Do in Equatorial Guinea. Trigger the trapdoor under Arizona. check millions of migrants' calendars to find a good time for everyone to get deported together. Disguise ICE agents as shrubs, trash cans, and traffic cones so they can sneak around more easily. Tell neighborhood watch groups to really just go nuts. Decrease America's dependence on fruits and vegetables. Get calling ICE on my neighbor trending on TikTok. Use military force to round up anyone who can identify Mexico on a map. Probably something horrific involving tents in the desert. Ask Biden how he did it. Next, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour by the numbers. After nearly 2 years, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour has at long last concluded, grossing over $2 billion in ticket sales. The Onion looks at the key facts and figures behind the record-breaking tour. 1.2 million parents who only learned at the door that you can't bring water bottles into the venue. 113 average rushing yards per concert. 94 security guards hospitalized for teen girl bites. 5 cents, how much an Eras Tour ticket used to cost in 1908. 3 times Travis Kelce thought a major European city was in California. 7 cities in which the surprise song was Macarena. $16 for one fucking churro? Are they crazy? 11 times a big dog accidentally got loose and ran onto stage. 4 notes in Swift's entire song catalog. 0 chances your daughter will give you now that you're officially let her down. 110,876 people still in the Ticketmaster queue. Now it's on to Onion Sports. NFL planning small, intimate Super Bowl party with friends and family. Dateline New York. Confessing that celebrations had unfortunately gotten a little out of hand in recent years, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell told reporters this week he was planning a small, intimate Super Bowl with just friends and family. This year, instead of a big blowout with over 83,000 fans, we'll be keeping the guest list down to a reasonable number and having a quiet, low-key NFL championship, said Goodell, adding that he only planned on inviting about a dozen people, including his brothers, their adult children, and a few of his golfing buddies, to watch the game at the Caesars Superdome over some drinks and light snacks. I always love hosting the Super Bowl, but the idea of preparing hundreds of thousands of burgers and millions of gallons of beer just seemed like too much. Plus, I can never really hear what's going on in the game over a stadium full of stupid, screaming fans. And everyone just comes for the halftime show anyway. At press time, Goodell responded to a litany of complaints from football fans by saying that if they wanted to host their own Super Bowls on Sunday, February 9th, they were more than welcome to do so. Next, Dad wishes whole roster played with intensity, passion of talentless special teamer. Dateline Cincinnati, Ohio. Lamenting that none of the team's starters went all out on every play like the undrafted rookie, local dad Hugh Goodwin told reporters Wednesday that he wished the whole Bengals roster played with the intensity and passion of the franchise's most talentless special teamer. I'm tired of watching all these prima donna receivers and linebackers hold back half the time when this guy gives 100% on every damn play, Goodwin said of the fifth-string quarterback with sloppy tackling form, who was absolutely flying down the field during a punt. I don't know if he has what it takes to get regular snaps in the nickel, but that kid plays with his hair on fire. All these other guys are spoiled with their cushy contracts, but he leaves it all out on the field because he knows he could be cut and out on the street at any moment if he doesn't. That's what football is supposed to be. If this team had half the drive he does during the 30 seconds he plays every game, we'd have won a Super Bowl by now. At press time, the special teamer had reportedly overrun the opposing team's punt returner and opened a hole for a big 45-yard gain. Next, report, La Liga probably means the league, Dateline New York. Admitting they felt a responsible level of certainty about the unfamiliar phrase after stumbling upon it on ESPN.com. The authors of a new report published Monday confirmed that La Liga probably means the league. Huh? I'm not entirely sure what they're trying to express here, but for some reason I have this feeling that La Liga is a way of referring to some kind of league in a foreign country, said Dan Pinsky, one of many contributors to the report, who repeated the words La Liga aloud to themselves several times in an attempt to jog their memory and determine whether they'd heard it before. On second thought, maybe it means the line? It definitely looks like there's a line or something in the photograph, but no, that really doesn't work. There are some sort of sports players here. You could certainly say they're part of a league, although the word kind of looks feminine now that I'm looking closely at it, so maybe it's about a women's league? It'd be La Liga if it were about men, right? The report concluded that the only way to know the meaning of the term for sure would be to hire a professional German translator. And finally, today from American Voices, Biden commutes 1,500 prison sentences. President Joe Biden commuted the sentences of roughly 1,500 people who were released from prison and placed on home confinement during the coronavirus pandemic, while also pardoning 39 Americans convicted of nonviolent crimes in the largest single-day act of clemency in modern history. What do you think? Helen Webb, broom historian. The handshaking ceremony is going to take forever. Jay Fletcher, charity auditor. That's got to be all of them, right? Eli Golestani, hatchery supervisor. I bet Hunter doesn't feel so special now, huh? That concludes this edition of The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan. It's been my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the last half hour. And until next time, be well.